Welcome to Only Murders in My Mind, a Random Thought production. Hi, I'm Carol Bissett, a crime writer, and I invite you with my co-presenters, Liz Hedgecock and Mike Jackson, each week to our conversations on all things murderous. Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Only Murders in My Mind. Doesn't Thursday come round quickly? It's 5 p.m. again and you've got us in the room with Liz Hedgecock.
Hello.
Mike Jackson.
Good afternoon.
And welcome. I hope you're all well out there. And before we start, Mike's going to give the blog a prompt. No, that's wrong.
I'm going to give the blog a mention.
That's it. That'll do.
That goes alongside the podcast. We have a Only Murders in My Mind blog, which is on WordPress, easy to find. Lots of interesting information on there. And in particular, we encourage anybody who wants to put stories up. Put them in the comments. And if there are any stories that we particularly like, then we're quite happy to read them out on the podcast. But please go and have a look, have a listen, because there are some stories there called Tiny Tales that are part of a video production that we've been playing around with recently. And let us know what you think.
Yes, so it's getting quite a lot of views, isn't it?
Yes, slowly but surely.
Because Mike's sort of in charge of that, and he's running it. And as I say, we're getting more and more views. They call them views, but more and more people are listening to the podcast. Yay!
What I have started doing on the podcast, I've just introduced something, and I put a post up every now and again about it, called Tiny Tales. Mm. And basically what I've done is I've created a YouTube channel where I'm taking some short stories, some of my short stories, a couple of short stories from some of our listeners, and I've used some AI to create a voiceover. So the video comes out with this person's story, with a voiceover and a picture in the background. And again, well worth having a listen to. And also, if you'd like to have your story read out as a tiny tale, then just pop the story into the comments and see what happens.
It works really well. I'm very impressed with that.
Liz and Carol are going to do that any moment soon. They both promised me that they're going to send me a short story that I can put on the
Can you hear
tales.
Me nodding?
Yeah, me too.
They'll do that about the same time that I publish my novella.
Oi. I'm busy writing. I'm writing a book. The thing is, I'm writing with Paula, so it's that thing of I have to, you know, keep going. I can't not do my chapter.
It was funny when Liz and I were doing this little sort of literary thing a few weeks ago, and there was a lady there asking us questions, and she said, and can you earn money? Because we're both independent, mostly, aren't we? Independent. Mm-hmm. And I said no, and Liz said yes at the same time. Two ends of the spectrum, you see. Yeah. You can be an indie publisher and earn decent money out of it, but can I just say Liz puts an awful lot of work into that side of it. It's not just publishing your books. Whereas I tend to go, please buy them and leave it at that.
Sometimes that works.
Sometimes it does, yes. Yeah.
So. Just thinking, Liz, I know you're very busy writing, but you do have some short stories.
I do.
You've written in the past. Mm-hmm, maybe one of those.
So what, to pop on the book? Yeah, I could do, I suppose.
I will send you a short story. How many words do you want, Mike? Couple of hundred?
Oh, 200, 300, 400, yeah.
Right.
He says so casually.
or longer.
I'm going away for a couple of days and I will have
a look at your prompts and see if I can do something. And I have had an idea for something based on the topic of today's podcast.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Which is?
Locked room murders. And what was the other one, Liz? It's not just locked rooms, is it?
Closed circle.
Yes.
And escape rooms.
Yes. Escape rooms. I mean, they do them as games now, don't they?
You can go to an escape room. For his birthday, had a great time.
Yeah, somebody said to me,
and they just managed to escape as well.
Why would you want to pay and be locked into a dark room and have to try and get out?
Some people like that sort of thing.
They do.
Mm. My granddaughter, for her recent 11th birthday, her and her brother, mum and dad, went to an escape room, which was an island. So they got rowed out to this island.
All
the clues were in treasure chests and things like that.
Then
when they solved it, they got onto the walkie-talkie and got rescued off the island.
Wow.
It was great fun.
So if you don't solve it, do they just leave you there?
I think so,
do?
Yes.
Yeah. Blimey.
With a fishing rod. A and some clean water.
A packet of Tato crisps.
I mean, one of the most prolific locked room television series is Death in Paradise. Mm-hmm. It's nearly always a locked room type of mystery that couldn't possibly have been done by anybody that is with that person, you know,
that's
like the suspect. It's not really a locked room, is it? Because they can be on the beach, but, you know, nobody could have done it.
And quite often it is a locked room, isn't it?
I think they said the same.
This door was locked from the inside. Yes. How could anybody possibly?
I think they said the same with Jonathan Creek.
Yes, they were good. They were the magic in them.
He does magic stuff, doesn't he? So again, it's that. Yeah, so I can see how that fits in really well.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I've not recently. I think it was just after Christmas. Watched the whole series from start to finish again. Mm-hmm. I am a sad person that likes watching these things. So what's your version of a locked room? What would you what comes to mind when I say a locked room mystery to you? Is there anything that pops into your head? Because as I say, with me, it was the I can't remember what I said now. The Death in Paradise. They always seem to be unsolvable.
The one that I think of is the case of the Speckled Band.
Yes,
Sherlock Holmes.
Yes,
where someone has died, and it's like, how could this possibly have happened, and there's you know, you're thinking about it, you think there's no way. No. How on earth has this happened? And of course, you know, Sherlock Holmes is going to solve it because that's what he does.
I think that's one of the attributes, isn't it? It's that seemingly impossible crime.
Yeah, that it can't have happened, but it has happened. So
And the clues get dropped out. I think as a watcher, if you're watching it on the television, or as a reader, the clues get dropped in so that in a way you're playing the detective as well. You can have a go at trying to solve the. A seemingly impossible crime.
Yeah. So I think they were quite popular during the golden age of detective fiction, where it was that whodunit and you're encouraged to solve it along with. Because remember, we did that episode on Knox's Rules?
Yes.
Yeah. It's that same kind of idea of, you know, the reader needs to be given a fair chance to solve it.
Yeah. And I think we all want that, don't we?
Yeah.
We don't want a crime that we're reading about or watching to be solved with a clue that's never come up at all. A person that has never appeared on the, you know, on the page, all of a sudden, no, it was Fred. He was hiding in that shed down there and he did it. We don't want that. We want it to be sort of the characters we've got used to in the book, haven't we? Mm-hmm. What's any favourites that you've got, Mike, of locked rooms?
No particular favourites. I mean, I'd still go back to something like Murder on the Nile.
Yes.
Because it's that enclosed community.
Yeah, that's that closed circle idea, isn't it? Because I'd kind of conflated the two. And I think lots of people, when they say it's a locked room mystery, mean it's closed circle mystery.
Yes.
Because we were talking, weren't we, in the Amateur Sleuth thing about, you know, having a small community.
Yes.
And how that works. And I suppose the closed circle thing makes it a little bit more enclosed in that you'll have one place, like a country house is the classic.
Yeah.
So Knives Out, for example.
Yes. Yeah.
Is a closed circle thing because it all takes place in the house and the grounds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, as I mentioned a couple of times, I'm really into Monk at the moment. I think I'm on about season 3. It's only 5 more seasons to go.
I'm ahead of you. No spoilers.
but many of the mysteries that he has to solve seem impossible. You know, I watched one last night where this woman gets killed in a lift because her scarf gets caught in the lift. The lift goes up and she gets strangled. Everybody saw it happen. So, you know, everybody assumed it was an accident. Monk comes along and says, no, she was murdered. And everybody is saying, how could that possibly be? Because we all saw it happen. So that's sort of an enclosed...
Have you seen the one about the astronaut yet?
No.
That'll get you. Yeah.
But they are. They're, it's this seemingly impossible murder.
Yeah.
Or crime.
And all through that one, Monk's going, but he did it. And they're going, but he was in space. Yeah. But he did it. Yeah. But he was in space.
If you've never watched Monk, it's well worth watching.
I'll have to give it a go because I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No, I'm
not quite sure how to describe Monk. He's a bit of a Poirot, because he's always, in fact, he's a mixture, isn't he? He's a bit of a Poirot because he uses those little grey cells.
Yeah.
he's a bit of a Sherlock Holmes, because he'll notice that, you know, you've got mud on your boot, which must have come from the canyon just outside Los Angeles or like that. So it's a mixture of different detective characters.
With a little bit of autism thrown in.
Quite a bit of autism.
Apparently he's got something like 300 phobias. And
yes.
His psychiatrist is a really big part in this.
That's right.
But it makes you laugh as well, though.
But he fits many of those sort of, that we've talked about before, the crime detective. Amateur sleuth, he's not. Mm-hmm. He used to be part of police.
Yes.
He fits many of those bits and pieces that we've talked over through the podcast and fits into this locked room, because many of his crimes that he has to help out to solve are seemingly impossible.
Yeah. I don't think when I've been writing, I've ever written one where people have gone, how on earth did that happen? Mine are, who on earth did it? They're that sort of crimes. But you have, haven't you, Liz? You've written something akin to a locked room.
Not so much the locked room, closed circle, definitely.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, thinking about Murder at the Playgroup.
Yeah.
It had to have been someone who was there at the time. Yeah. You know, there's no way it could, because, you know, they don't realise immediately afterwards. And then when they start thinking about it. So I've actually got a reading, which is the passage where it happens.
Please,
so.
Yeah, because then we'll know what.
So
we're
the police
about.
Have come. They've all been interrogated and they've been, you know, told you can go now, but you know, no sneaking off anywhere. You've got to stick around. Okay, so they've all gone to the pub together, as you do after a murder. The fiddler and Flagon, to be exact, was the pub Pippa had gone to on her first day in Much Gadding. Her heart sank a little as they entered. But instead of the texting woman, a lanky lad bobbed behind the bar. He whistled as they trooped in. I'll put some tables together for you, he said, raising the bar flap. Are you stopping for lunch? A quick conference of whispers and nods. I'll get you some menus. Raise hands if you need a high chair. A few minutes later, they were settled at a collection of rickety tables and drinks were on the way. What did you think of the policeman? Pippa asked generally. Bit full of himself, said Caitlin. He's new. Norman retired last year? Anyway, Norm was dead friendly, always said hello, helped at all the community events. I reckon this one's trying to be Hercule Poirot or something. She shivered. It's creepy, isn't it? I was trying not to think about it, said Sam. Are they sure it was, she mouthed, murder? Pippa nodded. I asked. Apparently, she leaned in and lowered her voice, Barbara was whacked on the head. No. Sam exclaimed, her mouth an O. That means... What? Asked Caitlin. Don't you see? Sam looked round the group. The fire exit's in the corner of the main hall. The only other door is the front one, and none of the windows open more than a couple of inches. Pippa swallowed. So what you're saying is... Yes! Sam had an odd little smile on her face. It was one of us. Someone at the playgroup killed Barbara. The table fell silent. Everyone eyed each other. Or Lila, said Eva, flicking her straight brown hair. She left early. She could have done it, come back in, waited a bit so it wasn't suspicious, and then legged it. You know she and Barbara don't get on. Yeah, but that doesn't mean she'd kill her, Nick said. She's got a temper, though. Eva folded her arms. Or what about Imogen, said Sam. She got banned last time. She might have got in, hidden somewhere, done it and sneaked off. How? Said Caitlin. First, she'd have to get in without anyone seeing. Okay, maybe she pepped in when Barbara's back was... She bit her lip. But where would she hide? The toy cupboard's tiny and people are in and out of the loo all the time. The police will have checked the kitchen and she couldn't have done it and left before we arrived because we all saw Barbara alive at the start of playgroup. Well, what about you? Sam leaned forward. Barbara got your conservatory rejected, didn't she? You were hopping mad. Don't be ridiculous, snapped Caitlin. Calm down, everyone, said Nick. Please. He looked round the table. Barbara wound up a lot of people. Probably we all had a reason to be angry with her, but flinging accusations won't help. Let the police handle it. Well, there's one person who didn't have a reason. Caitlin turned to Pippa. You've just moved here. She paused, considering. Unless you're a long-lost relative with a grudge. Do pack it in, Caitlin, Nick said wearily. Come on, Nick, I was joking. Caitlin sipped her white wine. You can't blame me for trying to lighten the mood a bit. Like I said, leave it to the police.
Nick drank his pint, a lowering expression on his face. Are we in trouble, Daddy? Grace stared at him, a red crayon in her hand. No, sweetheart, no one's in trouble. The police are just doing their job, said Nick in a soothing voice. What are you drawing? He leaned over and the muscles in his jaw tightened. Pippa glanced at the sheet of paper. It showed a stick figure wearing a triangle for a skirt and a jumper made of Loop the Loops, with a sword sticking out of its tummy, spurting blood. Pippa's eyes met Nick's. I guess it's imaginative. You could say that. Are you all ready to order? Pippa wondered how long the barman had been standing there. Now, would anyone like a starter? Pippa looked at the mix of anger, confusion and resentment around the table. I think we'll go straight to Maine.
Yeah, so they're all eyeing each other up because they're wondering which of them has done the deed.
It feels like the minute they realise, they're like, ooh, was it you?
It had to be, yeah.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting that they're all accusing each other and not thinking, well, if they actually are and I've just accused them, I'm probably not very safe now, but they just, go for it.
That's the thing, who's going to be next?
Mm.
But
yeah, I do like a closed circle mystery. I mean, if you think of, and then there were none.
Yes.
Agatha Christie, where they're all on the island together.
I mean,
a bit like your granddaughter's escape room. Yeah. Maybe hopefully that had a few less murders.
Yeah. Fewer murders.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I was trying to think of one of the ones. And I've got to be honest with you, the ones that really fascinated me were the ones about Jonathan Creek mysteries. Mm. Because I felt towards the end it was getting a bit too ridiculous. But some of the earlier ones that, you know...
Were they jumping the shark?
Yeah, they had a little bit of jumping the shark, But, you know, like where bodies disappeared in rooms and all that. Wasn't there something when we did Knox's Ten Commandments about not having hidden doors or trap doors or...
Yeah, I think you could have a secret passage, but you could only use it once.
That's right, yeah. Huh. Because that's what we always suspect, isn't it? You know, that if somebody is dead in a room and there's... it's locked from the inside and the person's been murdered, that somebody's gone through a hidden passage, you know, and it's not necessarily the case. Do any stick in your mind, Mike, that you, when you've watched it, you've gone, oh, I wonder how this happened?
I mean, going back to Jonathan Creek, going back to some of the other ones that we've talked about, some of the Agatha Christie and the monk ones, you always start off thinking,
how
could that have happened?
Yeah.
Mm. I think
a sort of a different quality to a locked room mystery from a closed circle mystery, though.
I think a locked room, by the very nature of the terminology, is more constrictive in as much as it is a locked room. You know, you've either got a group of people in... Well, no, that would be a closed circle, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A locked room, to me, sounds like...
It's like it couldn't have happened, but it has.
Yeah. There's
usually... It's challenging your sense of reality almost. Yeah.
There's usually a body inside a locked room.
Yeah.
And the first
locked from the inside.
Locked from the inside. Yeah. So the first thing you've got to try and figure out is how...
Yeah.
How did the murderer get in and get out?
Yes. Yeah, where is it?
Or close... did the person kill themselves, I suppose.
Or did the person kill themselves? Yes,
Or with a closed circle, it is everybody suspecting everybody else.
Well, I think with a closed circle, you've got a bigger group of people. Whereas with a locked room, you've got one space, which is the room, with one victim.
But normally you have people coming in from outside to solve it.
Yes.
Whereas a closed circle, it's more likely to be if it's a country house one. And quite often it's somewhere that's cut off, like in And Then There Were None.
Yeah.
There's that thing of, right, you know, somebody who's hit has killed someone and they're still here. They're still here and they've murdered one person already.
There was a Vera like that. It was actually on the television where she's driving through heavy snow and she finds an abandoned car and in the car there's a child, a baby, and she takes it to the nearest house, which is actually happens to be relatives of hers, you know, sort of removed a few times. And the murderer had to be somebody really in that house because the snow was so thick.
Yeah.
You know, that the person that the adult that had brought the child was found dead in the snow a bit further along. So that was that type of thing where you were wondering, well, it got to be one of them, but who, you know, they all had alibis.
I think the difference, to me anyway, the difference between that scenario, the closed room scenario, and the locked room is that the main part of a locked room is the somebody, the detective, the amateur sleuth, whoever, working out how the room was locked from the inside. Mm. So how did somebody get in, do the murder, and get out again?
Yes.
And to me, that's almost the essence of the whole mystery.
It's the ingenuity.
Who did it? To a certain extent, is almost irrelevant. It's the how did they do it?
Yeah.
That becomes more important.
Yeah. I mean, one of the Jonathan Creeks, and I don't think it involved a murder, it was a painting going missing out of basically a cupboard. The children were all going in twos and threes to see this beautiful painting.
Yeah.
And then when the next lot went in, the painting had gone off the wall. Mm. You know, that was a real sort of head scratcher. And I was thinking, no, you know, because it went through all the normal things. That, and I'm not going to tell you the result, because if you're going to watch it, it would spoil it. But and again, it was so simple, you know, by the, when the time.
I saw a Beyond Paradise with a similar painting goes missing type thing going on. Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, again, going back to this monk that I watched last night, with this woman getting killed in the elevator or the lift. Mm. Actually, very early on, you know who did it.
Yes. Okay.
And the whole story.
So it's the how.
It's the how.
The how done it. Yes. Who done
that's
it.
The important part. Ah, it's the how.
Yeah. Well, we've said before with murder mysteries, there's a couple of ways of writing them, isn't it? There's the one where you've got no idea and it's got to be solved by the end of the book. Mm. And there's a sort where you know from the beginning who the murderer is, but the police have got to prove it. And, you know, that they're quite psychological, those, aren't they? Because, you know, the murderer's basically laughing at them, going, you prove it, you know, that sort of thing.
Whereas the close circle, again, going back to some of the Agatha Christie things, like, you know, Murder on the Nile, the murder itself, you know who's been murdered and how they've been shot.
Yeah.
Then it's got this great host of people there, and so it has to be one of them.
Yes.
And that's the mystery of, you know.
Or Murder on the Orient Express. Death in the Clouds as well. They're all on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
You know, that is a real, I mean, you know, obviously it absolutely had to be someone who was there.
But I mean, Murder on the Orient. The first time I saw Murder on the Orient Express.
I keep saying Murder on the, I mean Death on the Nile, don't I?
Yes, same well, difference. Yeah, we know what you mean, Mike.
We do.
I'm glad one of you does.
I thought that was so clever the first time I saw Murder on the Orient Express, which is one of the reasons I've wanted to go on the Orient Express ever since. And I suppose most people that go on this are thinking, will there be a murder while I'm on it? Hopefully not. Mm. So the thing about this sort of crime and mystery is, have they all been done before? Because they do tend to astound us when we see these things. Somebody's thought up something new, at which people like, don't they? They're like, it's like, oh, that's what so-and-so did 10 years ago. Mm. They've just modernised it a little bit.
In some ways, there are no new story bases as such. It's just different interpretations.
I'm sure someone said there's only seven plots in the world. But I mean, if you look at how many books there are in the world and how many films, how many TV shows. Then.
Yeah. So it's the way you write them, isn't it?
It's the combination of elements. I think quite often, you know, the characters that you have as well.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, with And Then There Were None, it's like the way people get picked off all the time.
Yes.
You know, and it just builds and builds and builds. And, you know, those poor people.
And that's what a lot of horror films are based on, though, aren't they? There's people being stuck somewhere and being picked off one at a time, usually in a more scary way sort of thing, you know, with lots of screaming and music.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. Yeah. Well, that's Jaws, isn't it?
With And Then There Were None. I mean, there's no detective. Is there? It's just a group. There's no detective in there.
No.
I mean, you have people trying to work it out, sure, and forming alliances. I mean, in that way, it's kind of like The Traitors or something.
Yes.
You know, where everyone's, oh, it couldn't be my, I'm, you know, it's like that kind of, I'm a faithful, I couldn't possibly do anything like that. I was with you, or I was with you, and you know where I was, and, you know, don't you trust me? People thinking, no, I don't trust you. So, interesting.
Another interesting fact was given to me by these detectives that, I saw a few weeks ago. If you interview, there's an incident, you know, a man gets horribly stabbed in the middle of the road in broad daylight, and you interview 20 people and they will all have a different perspective and a different statement to give you. And he said something that we've said before, if they are all the same, It's because they've been talking to each other. Yeah. So obviously they want to get these people, separate them. They don't want them discussing what they've seen. Yeah. And you're getting a bit of truth off each one. Not that they've lied.
No.
It's a bit of real evidence. The truth's probably not the wrong word to say. You're getting a bit of actual evidence off each one that you can then put together.
Yeah.
And form something. Because it's true, with shock and other things going on, we don't always take in everything as it happens, do we?
Yeah.
When I used to work, I used to run some courses for other head teachers and teachers. And I won't go into the detail of the course, but one of it was around the idea that our perception is our reality.
Mm.
So how we perceive things has to tie in how, you know, the yes. reality of life.
Yes.
And we all look at things in a very different way. You know, we could all look at this room and have a different perception of what it is, what it means to us.
Yeah. Or it's like on social media, you know, someone will say something or there'll be a, you know, a GIF or a video or whatever it is. And, you know, some people will think it, you know, think it means one thing and some people will think it means another. Mm. So.
And how they can go back, you know, when they're looking at cold cases and ask somebody to try and tell them what happened 10, 15 years ago, he's asking an awful lot, isn't it?
Well, I lead a very sad life, but I've been, sometimes I listen to the post office scandal, you know, the inquiry.
Oh, yes.
And there they're asking these people to remember what they said or what somebody might have said to them 10, 15 years ago. Very, very difficult.
Blimey. Yeah.
I think it's more difficult. I think some of those people are also trying to cover their back. So,
yes.
They're being very careful at what they can remember, what they can't remember.
Yeah. That's probably where you refer to our podcast about lying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we did a good one on lying.
That was actually a good one.
How people lie, yeah.
Yeah. But what's the attraction then of locked room and closed circle mysteries?
It's just
that mystery. Seemingly impossible crime. When you start off with the premise that, nope, that couldn't have happened, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You're hooked.
I think it's the small scope as well.
Yeah.
The very self-contained nature of it.
Yeah.
Mm. And even when the answer comes out at the end, you think to yourself, oh, yes, but I would never have thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, you've still enjoyed that. It doesn't spoil it for you.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you had a closed circle mystery and it turned out in the end that it had been like the errand boy that nobody had seen who happened to have a gun and they just shot them and went, you'd be like, that was rubbish.
Yeah. You feel cheated then, don't you?
Yes.
Sort of thing. Yeah. What you want. I mean, it is. It's just what Mike said. The mystery is unlocked and we know what happened and who did it. And we go, oh, why did they see that? And the reason we didn't see it was because it was really well written and well acted. If it's a play and if it was a book, it's been really well written.
You know, recently I read a story out and it upset all our listeners. I've got another one.
Go on.
Oh, gosh.
It's not quite, it's only 100 words, this one.
Only 100 words of misery.
It's called Afternoon Fun. It's not quite a lot room, but with the stretch of the imagination, it might just fit into the theme we've been talking about. He watched, helpless, as the door closed behind her. What had started as a fun afternoon had gone wrong when he told her there was no way he was leaving his wife. There was nothing serious in what they got up to. He thought she'd understand that. Obviously, she hadn't. As he called out her name, he heard the front door slam. Oh, no, she's really gone. How the hell was he going to explain to his wife what he was doing, tied stark naked to a kitchen chair with a pair of frilly knickers stuck on his head? Is that a locked room?
Well, it should be.
I think that's probably open and shut case.
Right, it's fine.
A little more lighthearted than what I usually
Yes, it was.
Made us all smile, but... On that, I'll finish our podcast for today, we will be here at the same time next week with Only Murders in My Mind. You have been listening to Only Murders in My Mind, a Random Thought production, produced by John Bissett. The music, In Peril, was composed and recorded by OM Studio Strings.